find in front of you in the pew an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in the English tongue. If you pick it up and turn with me to Psalm 71, we're going to read a portion of Scripture from Psalm 71. And we're reading from verse 7, and we're reading on to verse 19. Verse 7 to verse 19 of the Psalm 71. We read it together on the Lord's Day morning, taking your time from the Psalm 71 and the verse 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lie wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. And God will bless his holy word to our hearts, and seal it by the Spirit's power. Open your Bibles at Psalm 71, verses 17 to 19. My subject this morning is the almighty sum no man can total. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, I said to the Lord when I read that, I didn't need to pray, now I am old and bald-headed. I have escaped that curse so far. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who have done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. The blessing of salvation the personal salvation of our soul is a mighty sum, a number which no mortal can total. The numbers of God's salvation's blessing in their totality are unknown. No ledger is large enough to list them, and no mortal mind has the ability to total them up. They defy calculation. Psalm 71 and 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. The same is true of their quality. This also denies reckoning. Psalm 40 and verse 5, many, O Lord, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare them and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. What if it's true of their totality, and it is, and of their quality, and it is, the same is true of their quantity and of their actuality. So in their totality, quality, quantity, and actuality, they are past finding out. In every instance, when we look at the works of God linked to our personal salvation and the giving of eternal life to our spirits, we are contemplating an almighty colossus. It's immeasurable. It defies definition. Mr. Spurgeon, as a young preacher, surprised his congregation one morning when he said, open your diaries and write across the record of your daily experiences. All this is being done to us in righteousness. And all this is working out our full salvation. Never, said Spurgeon, read the book of your life's history without putting that headline upon every page. All this is being done in righteousness, and all this is working out our full salvation. Emblazon that motto as an illuminated picture at the beginning of every distinct chapter of your life, and believe it is all righteousness and all God's salvation from first to last. What a God we have. No wonder we read his mercies are new every morning. Ye humble saints, proclaim abroad the honors of a faithful God. How just and true are all his ways. How much above your highest praise. The words his sacred lips declare, of his own mind the image bear. What should him tempt from frailty free, blessed in his self-sufficiency? He will not his great self deny. A God all truth can never lie. As well might he his being quit as break an oath or word forget. Let suns and stars forget to rise, or quit their stations in the skies. Let heaven and earth both pass away. Eternal truth shall ne'er decay. True to His word, God gave His Son to die for crimes which man had done. Blessed pledge He never will revoke. A single promise He has spoke. What a God we have, and what a salvation we have. Have you ever tried to count the blessings of God? Shame on you if you never sat down and wrote in a book some of God's blessings. Sit down today after you get your lunch and try and draw up a list of the mercies of God upon your life from day one until today. Take up your Bible and write the initials T and P beside every verse you've tried and proved. And then look at the verses you've ignored and put beside them the initials NP, not proved. And then sit back at the end of 2 or 3 hours and you'll not have even started. I tell you, the Bible does declare the wonderful works of God. If you find a prayer promise in the Bible, pray the prayer immediately. Don't put it off. The blessing of that prayer promise is for you. If it is a special promise for some certain circumstance, hide that promise in your heart and it'll become a source of comfort and help in the coming day when the circumstances of that promise fall upon your life. You will have a rock to run to and an anchor that keeps the soul. If that promise is a precept, a commandment, obey it instantly. If it offers power, baptize your soul in that power immediately. Then list your deliverances. How the Lord delivered you from hell, and your feet were making haste to hell, and there you would have gone. But God did all things well. His love was great. His blood was free that from hell's pit delivered me. Yes, think about it. You could have been in the darkness of the damned. You could be tormented for your sins. But God in grace delivered you from hell. He delivered you from the world. When we look out over the world, what's in the world? Nothing. It's all boasted show, empty pride, empty amusements that don't satisfy the inner yearnings of the immortal hearts of men. Thank God He has delivered us from the flesh, and we can see the fleshly lusts all around us that war against the soul, toppling the great and the wealthy, toppling the wise men and the fools. He has delivered you from fears and accidents. He has delivered you in sickness. He has delivered you when you had good health. You are a monument of God's blessing. Think of it, if there was no God, where would you be tonight? Today? Think if there was no God, the Son, how miserable you would have been, not a friend to run to in the hour of trial or in the day of temptation. Think if you had no God, the Holy Ghost, what would you be like? A poor soul, adrift in the great stormy sea, lost, undone, forevermore. No wonder Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, penned the lines, "Our life contains 1,000 strings, and dies if one is gone. strains at a harp with a thousand strings should keep in time so long. Oh, what a wonder how God keeps us. He has given us His loving kindness. He has given to us His tender mercies. Oh, the blessing of God and the wonder of it. In its simplification, how simple is the message. We don't need a dictionary or a first class degree to understand the simpleness of the gospel. Unification, transformation, glorification, purification, diversification, ratification, justification, glorification, and regeneration and expiation. Think of all those things. Those are the blessings of God. They're like a mighty river to roll over your soul and to buoy you up in the day of temptation and care. What a bounty of riches. There's only the smallest percentage I'm talking about. There is an immeasurable, unending panorama of unfading riches for you. And this is only earth. What will it be when we get to heaven? We used to sing in Sunday school, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. If you happen to be in heaven when I arrive, you'll hear a mighty shout at the gate as I go through that gate. And an angel will tell you, it's that madman Paisley, he's arrived in this place. Oh, the wonder of it. Salvation is real, friend. The Lord Jesus is real. The peace of God is real. I have had a rough passage in my day. I've been in tight places, in and out of prison 3 times. I know all about it. But there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can do for a man's soul what Jesus can do. I remember my first imprisonment, and when I was looked over by the doctor and examined to see was I well, and he said to me, "You're fit." I said, "I'm not Jerry fit at all. I mean, Paisley, you've got the wrong man." And they took me to a cell after hosing me down, and they put me into that cell and slammed the door. And the man said, 6 hours' time, we'll let you out for a breather. And I went over to the old bed. It was as hard as a rock. And I sat down on it. And I started to weep. There weren't tears of sadness. There were tears of joy. I met Jesus in the prison cell. And he said, "I've been here before you. You never go anywhere in life that I haven't been there before. Look down and see my footprints. It'll bring joy to your heart." And I had a great time in that prison for 3 months. I wrote my exposition of the book of Romans that has been a blessing to tens of thousands of people. And the great thing about it, the governor of the prison, he had to read every night what I wrote during the day. And here he was. I said to him, "You'll be a theologian, friend, before you're finished." "Oh," he says, "I don't like this." He says, "I have to sit down and read what you've been saying, and you're very sore and things." Yeah. And best of all about that imprisonment, the dear young man that helped us, looked after us at prison, we prayed for him, and I had the great joy of seeing him see him by the grace of God. And the deputy governor whom we prayed for, he got saved too in answer to our prayers. I was traveling home one day from Westminster, And the girl in the plane said, the pilot would like to talk to you in the flight deck. And I said, I'll talk to him after the plane gets off. And when the plane took off, she came down and brought me in. There was a young man sitting at the controls. He said, I'm very honored, Dr. Paisley, to have you in my plane. I said, some people would think it was a dishonor. And he said, I don't. He said, do you remember a man in the prison that looked after the young people who were there and instructed them in joinery work? I said, I did. And I said, I remember that one of my fellow prisoners, he was in his class. He said, do you remember anything else about him? Yes, I do. I said, every Friday he brought me chocolates. And I was glad to see him. Well, he said, I was his son. And he said, I went out every Friday morning to buy Paisley's chocolates. And I brought them home. My father took them in. I said, I remember that. But he said, I didn't bring you into this flight deck to tell you that. A few months ago, he said, I was in Birmingham because my plane broke down and I had the night to spend. And I went down the road and he said, I passed a hall and there was gospel singing coming from it. And he said, I went into that hall. And he said, God met me and saved me. And he said, I went home. And he said, I led my father and my mother and my wife to Christ. And I sat there and I wept tears of joy. I prayed for that man. I prayed hard for him. He could gloriously see it. And the same was true of the deputy governor. He got saved as well. Afterwards he was murdered by the IRA. But a fortnight before he was murdered, his son led him to Christ. It's not in vain. God knows it all. The blood of our priest, our crucified King, which perfectly cleanses from sin and from filth, and richly dispenses salvation and health. This fountain from guilt not only makes pure, but gives soon as felt infallible cure. And of guilt removed, return and remain, its power may be proved again and again. The fountain unsealed stands open for all that long to be healed, the great and the small. Here strength for the weakly that hither are led. Here's health for the sickly. Here's life from the dead. That fountain, though rich, from charge is quite clear. The poorer the wretch, the welcomer there. Come needy, come guilty, come loathsome and bare. You can't come too filthy, come just as you are. This fountain in vain has never been tried. It takes out all stain whenever applied. The water flows sweetly with virtue divine to cleanse souls completely, though leprous as mine. Precious blood. Priceless blood. Pardoning blood. Purging blood. Preserving blood. Oh, what a value is in the precious blood of the Lamb. You'll find it all in this book. And what would this book be like if we didn't have the blood? But what would this book be like if we didn't have the book itself? Can you imagine a Bible-less world? With the translators of the Authorized Version, the King James Bible, and they wrote this in the front of the first volume that was ever printed. the original thereof being from heaven, not from earth, the author being God, not man, the inditer the Holy Spirit, not the wit of the apostles or prophets, the penmen such as were sanctified from the womb and endued with a principal portion of God's Spirit. The matter is verity, it is piety, it is purity, it is uprightness. The form is God's word, God's testimony, God's oracles, the word of truth, the word of salvation. The effects of this word is light of understanding, stableness of persuasion, repentance from dead works, newness of life, holiness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Lastly, the end and reward of the study thereof is fellowship with the saints, participation of the heavenly nature, fruition of an inheritance immortal, undefiled, and that never fades away. Happy is the man that delights in the Scripture. Yea, thrice happy is the soul that meditates in this book day and night. Oh, what values we have in the Word of God. But what about this great value of God's presence? The sweetest, most enjoyable value is the presence of God. To be hidden in the rock of ages and to be covered there by the hand of Christ. He with us in his faithfulness. He's with us in his faithfulness in every fire and flood. He's with us to correct and bless and working all for good. He will be with us to sustain when heart and flesh shall feel, and we with him shall live and reign in heaven within the veil. Brethren and sisters in Christ, we should be a happy people this day. Naught can harm the Father's child. He will hide me, safely hide me, where no fear can e'er betide me. He will hide me, safely hide me, in the shadow of his hand. May God help us today to rejoice with all our heart and with all our soul and all our mind. There comes to my mind that little hymn, I have a Savior, one I love so well, how he has loved me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide, following Jesus day by day. Oh, may we follow on to know the Lord. Brethren and sisters in Christ, the best is yet to be. The best battles are still to be fought and won. The highest mountain still is to be climbed, and we have to conquer their summits. There's much to do for God with the time that's left. But thank God in heaven, we will rejoice with him forevermore. I was asked the other day, what do you want to see first in heaven? I said, that's very simple. I just want to see my Savior. And I want to see his feet. And I want to kneel down and kiss the marks of the nails in his feet. I want to kiss the marks of the nails in his hands. And I want to kiss the cheeks that were pulled and scraped and beaten and spit upon for a sinner like me. That will be heaven. That will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. If you're not saved, and I've been speaking double Dutch to you, you might think I'm mad. I tell you, friend, you get saved And you know what you'll say? You'll say what the Scotchman said. It's better felt than tent. And so it is. Just to know in your heart, you're Christ. I have Christ. What want I more? These blessings of God cannot be numbered. They're without number. Many years ago, a great man of God came to the town of Ballymena to preach some meetings in my father's church there. His name was Captain Reginald Wallace, D.S.O. He had been a distinguished captain in World War I. And then God saved him. And he became a great evangelist. He used to sing a hymn in those days. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done. But Captain Reginald Wallace invented a new chorus to that hymn. And he taught it everywhere he went. Count your blessings, name them two by two. Count your blessings, name them four by four. Count your blessings, name them score by score. And it will surprise you, for there's millions more. And praise God, there's still millions more to follow. I trust that, dear sinner friend, today, just in that pew, you'll say, Lord Jesus, I come. We had a fine research student last Sunday night who got saved in this house. And the God that saved that fellow can save you. He's here. He's only a prayer away. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's not a doubt about it. You call and be saved. And you believers, pray for this preacher. He's maybe the biggest task to do in all his life now. And he hasn't much time to do it. I'll be celebrating on the 6th of this month, 81 years. And I always torment my wife and add a year to it and say, look, I'm going into my 82nd year. She always said, no, you're just 81, but no, I said, I'm going in the 82nd year. She said, do you want to make yourself old? No, I don't want to make myself old. I don't feel old. I was out doing some work this past week with some young men, and they were exhausted. I was as full of them as I could be. And they said to me, what's the secret? Oh, I said, I couldn't let you know that. That's a very costly thing. The secret of my strength. But I'll tell you what it is. It's not me. It's the Lord. And when you have the Lord with you, you have omnipotence with you. You have omnipresence with you. And you have omniscience with you. You have everything you need. May God bless his word to our hearts.